Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I hope you're not all sick of me this week. I know I've released a lot of episodes. It is more than usual, and please don't get used to it because I'm going back to one or two a week. But this week we just had a lot to cover. We were coming off those weeks where there was just one episode. And when an iconic interview presents itself, I have to take a hold. So Kate Chastain was on the show earlier this week, and we're finishing it out with Queen Leanne Locken. Of course, from The Real Housewives of Dallas, Leanne's been on the show before. She's called in both times. So this was the first time that she came in person. And it was so lovely. It's such a wild ride talking to Leanne in the best way. And so I'm excited to play that interview for you guys in just a second. I want to say that, again, we're going to be going back to 1 to 2 episodes a week next week because this is just a little too much for Danny. A little too much. But again, I've loved doing it. I love making the show. And actually, next week, we have an interview coming up that's a little bit unexpected. It's a little bit out of the box. It's with Cody and Brandi Rhodes, who are, Cody's a professional wrestler from the WWE, and they are both executives on this upcoming AEW wrestling league, which is starting on TNT next week. And my boyfriend, Matt, he like loves wrestling. He's obsessed with wrestling. My brother loves wrestling. So when the opportunity presented itself to interview Cody and Brandi, I had to jump on it. And I think it'll be really fun. And one of the things that I was also drawn to is that when I was doing the live shows, I was talking to women who were telling me their husbands, their boyfriends, and then I was even meeting some of these straight men that were there with their wives and girlfriends who listened to Everything Iconic. So you know what? I thought, this is for the boys. This episode's for the boys and for the, of course, women and gay men. I hope to enjoy it too, because I found that world so interesting to dive into. But that'll be next Monday. And that one's for the boys. So, you know, I hope you'll enjoy it. That'll be next Monday. But for now, I want to get to my interview with Queen Icon legend Leanne Locken from The Real Housewives of Dallas. Before I do, I want to say please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. If you want to support this show, go to patreon.com/everythingiconic. If you click become a patron, you could donate $4 more per month. You get the bonus episodes. I'm doing just one a month over there. And more importantly, the money helps to support this show, all these episodes that I'm doing. So thank you to everyone who's over on Patreon. I truly appreciate it. If you want a cameo, go to cameo.com/Danny Pellegrino. I try to leave it on as much as I can, but if it says it's off, it's just because I have a little busy or I'm out of town or I usually turn it off on the weekends. So that's the vet on that. And what else? There's t-shirts still available, guys. If you want one of the t-shirts, go to everythingiconic.threadless.com. There's all sorts of t-shirts. There's Wow Bethany Wow shirts. There's some from the tour, the live show shirts. And so there's one that has all these iconic Bravo quotes on that I love. I think it's called the maybe a BravoCon shirt or something like that. But it's got so many quotes from all things Bravo. So I put together like my favorite quotes and Matt designed this shirt. And I think it'd be great for BravoCon if anyone's going. But that's me selling the shirts. So that's everythingiconic.threadless.com. Without further ado, let's get to my chat with Queen Icon legend Leanne Locken. Oh, speaking of, there's shirts that say Queen Icon legend over there. And those are my favorite ones, I think. They just say Queen Icon legend. And you know what? Love it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. I'm here with star of Miss Congeniality, Leah Locken.
I don't know about star of Miss Congeniality. Yeah, I just made balloon animals, okay?
You're amazing. Leanne, how are you doing today?
I'm great. I've been up since 5:30 promoting Christmas at the Abbey, and, you know, I'll do anything for kids in a hospital.
Well, I wanted to get into this in a bit, but maybe we should just hop on now. I feel like I've said this on the show before, but you are always doing charity events, and I feel like it's not just for the show. Like, sometimes housewives, they do charity on the show, but I feel like you're constantly working for kids, for LGBT, off
animals,
the show.
Domestic violence.
What draws you to all of this? And is that a weird question? What draws you to all this charity work?
The need.
Yeah.
The need is strong. And, you know, I was doing charity before we started. Matter of fact, when they went to cast this show, basically the way they pitched it to me was, we're going to do a show about nonprofit, about charity, and how the ladies communicate and mix and mingle, because that is how we socialize in Dallas, is at charity events. And I was like, oh, well, then, yeah, I'm totally in for it, because I can bring light to all these events that I love so dearly. And, you know, then I got yelled at for using the word charity like nonstop in season one. They were like, charity, charity, charity.
But that was what it was supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you find out in the process that it wasn't about charity?
They had to tell us the day we shot our intro. We were going to shoot the intro, and they were like, okay, you're Real Housewives.
It's a housewife.
We were like, what? I mean, everybody was happy, and I was like, this probably isn't going to be good.
But the first season was definitely different, and I feel like things really hopped up on the second season. I think that's when
because
it really jumped off.
We knew what, you were doing by the second season. You know, you start, and even though I have done reality TV before several times, the other girls didn't. So then it's like, you know, now they're caught up. Now we're all together on the same page, and now let's do something.
Right. Now, how's the season going? We're in season four. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, no, it's season four. I mean, I get married this season.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My wedding is beautiful.
You're
my
a newlywed.
I'm a newlywed. That's I know so it's fine. Still so freaking weird to say husband.
Right.
Like when I text and I like my husband, or when people are like, where's your husband? And I'm like, I have one of those. It sounds like a disease. Like what? I'm, you know, 52. I finally have a husband. Holy crap.
But things are good.
Things are amazing. Things are so happy.
How did the wedding go?
It was the most beautiful, perfect day. And I say, I know I'm not dumb. I know perfect doesn't exist. But the truth is, I had built an army of friends and Steve Kimball, my wedding planner, and nothing hit me for a month after I was married. A month to 2 months after I was married, people started telling me little things like, did you know your mother almost missed your wedding? And I was like,
will we see that stuff on the show?
I'm sure you will.
Yeah. So we did film the wedding. So we're going to see the wedding.
Oh, they brought in an extra crew for the wedding.
Okay. I'm excited.
Low key, Rich's vow stole the wedding.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Oh, so sweet. So funny.
What about the other wives? Well, first of all, I have a crush on Rich. I think he's handsome. Like I've told you that before. But do the other women, how many of the women are at the wedding?
The majority of the women were invited to the wedding, and only two were not present.
So two of them that weren't present.
One was invited, one wasn't.
Oh, interesting. I don't think
it's that hard to decipher who I was not going to invite, considering there was never an apology to Rich, and there still to this day has never been an apology to Rich.
I want to talk about this. So this is Deandra, and what was the situation before you started filming? What was this text message situation? Can you explain a little bit?
I really can, and I'll tell you why. It's Rich's business, not mine, and I've said it a million times. I was pissed at Rich for sending it and not asking me first or running it past me, and he was pissed. He was pissed. I just came back from the reunion and I said, oh yeah, Deandra hunted down your first two wives to find out what you were like. And she said, they both said that you cheated on them, which was the complete opposite, by the way. And believe me, we have evidence to show you it's the complete opposite.
What do you mean you have evidence?
Rich has evidence. I mean, like I can easily call up a sports commentator in Dallas, Texas and prove that Troy Aikman was the one who told my current husband that his first wife was cheating on him.
Oh,
so let's just remember that when you start the lies, I'm the truth meter. Okay. So I'm going to bring you back to row one and we're going to start to shit on the real world because I'm not doing the fake stuff. And so, yeah. So like, you know, it really, and you know, she was like, they both came to me. I'm like,
but doesn't that happen a lot in Housewives world where people try to get dirt on each other?
Oh, by far. I don't know that they showed it. I don't remember if they showed it or not, but when we did Honest Tea the year before at Deandra's house, Brandy walked in and she was like, so you have been married before? And I was like, say who? No. Why would I lie about that? And don't you think you could just Google and find a divorce document? Like, that ain't that hard to do. And I was like, no. And she had a friend here in LA who had gone out with the son of a man I lived with for 13 years.
Okay.
And he said I was like a mother to him growing up because I was the fun girlfriend that lived with his dad. You know?
What's the relationship with Deandra now? Are you guys...
I mean, we...
On the show, can I just say it's clear you two hate each other.
Listen, but I do want to say this. I don't have time or room in my heart to hate her. I don't.
Right.
I do think there is massive hatred towards me from both her mother and her. And I think it's toxic. That's a question for them. I'm not going to speculate on how they feel because I just listened to a podcast where Dee told me that I told her that I was broke and needed to do this show because I needed the income, which is a lie. And listen, you know why you're going to hate me, love me, agree with me, not agree with me? Because I'm going to show you how I really feel. Like, I don't hide it. Listen, I know everybody thought I was negative nanny in last week's episode. And I was to an extent because I'd been told that Carrie was going to attack me.
What do you mean you've been told Carrie was going to attack you?
Carrie was brought on by Deandra. Go listen to the podcast that Dee did. You will clearly hear how much excitement Dee has in her voice for Carrie coming on because Carrie's going to just, not tolerate the BS.
Oh, interesting. And so I'm you just went like, into
so,
that.
So you're just forecasting before we've ever even premiered. Okay, that was genius.
Because I felt that way watching it as a viewer. I felt like Carrie was really coming in hard for you. And one of the things that I know you got a lot of heat for was like not staying in the room with Carrie. And I thought, what the fuck?
Sorry.
Why the fuck would she stay in the room with her? There's 100 rooms in this house. Who as an adult wants to stay in a room?
Seven casitas. Yeah. And yes, I brought pajamas. But the reality is I don't need this bitch rifling through my shit. I'm sorry. Right. But I don't know if she would do that or wouldn't. But look, I am a 52-year-old woman. I need my space.
Yeah.
And I know that going on this show and being forced to stay in a room with other people is how they get you to get all worked up. But if I don't have to, and I didn't have to,
and
the producer's
already
just going to have to work a little harder to get me riled up, okay?
And you were already going into it knowing that something was maybe coming your way from Carrie, so why would you put yourself in that position?
I knew it. And then, like, the comment when I was like, ooh, you can't get drunk on this property, you fall down the stairs. That's because, y'all, I was drunk from the bus ride, which is why I didn't get nauseous on the way there, but I almost threw up twice on the way back to the airport. This was not like the bus ride, I'm like, no,
wait,
bitch,
that's a good,
it's
that's
from
a good
hell. And let's
long,
just get straight.
How long was the bus?
Two and a half hours. And at some points, single lanes eat direction. So there was, when there became traffic, it became 3 hours.
Mm. What was the resort like? It looked pretty.
The home is beautiful.
Yeah.
Look, Eduardo's home is beautiful. It is
you
stunning.
Say that Eduardo's home. Was
it's
that
been
a little
in Eduardo's
shade?
Family
okay.
for years.
Yeah, yeah.
Eduardo's home is beautiful. Yeah. And the staff there was so sweet and kind. And it really is like if we weren't on a housewife trip, that would be a fun place to go back and vacation.
So did you ever meet Carrie before she came on the show or
yes.
was your first meeting? Okay, so
we had a confrontation at once.
What was the confrontation?
She was pissed that of the stuff I was saying about Duber. And so she came over to
the table
where I was having dinner with Heidi. And she's so funny because she's like, well, I just went over and let her have it. But bitch, please.
She did. So she didn't.
You sat the fuck down. Like, first of all, you sat at a table you were not invited to. And then you just started talking to Heidi and you knew who I was. And you slowly sneaked in a confrontation to which I said to you how I felt.
So let me ask you this. With the other women in the cast, did they have any idea or were they in the know that maybe Carrie was kind of angling to... They knew.
I mean, it's hard not to.
It's hard not to. So what did everyone else think?
Well, they're all friendly. I mean, look at everybody's post.
The heat was off of them.
Well, let's see. Brandy no longer has to attack me. Mm-hmm. Stephanie still doesn't have to have an opinion and love everyone. And
I love Stephanie though, Leanne.
I do too, but I get frustrated because there are these moments where she's like, I really want to be friends with you. And then an opportunity arises to like act like a friend. And it's a struggle for me. Mm-hmm. It's a real struggle. And you're going to see one of our cast come hard and heavy for her.
For Stephanie?
Yes.
Cameron, right? Is it Cameron? I'm guessing Cameron. What's your relationship like with Cameron now?
I thought we were good. And then I saw her go out and say that she didn't want to sit next to me or Stephanie at the reunion. And I was like, well, thanks, bitch. I'm so glad that I got stood in front of Sexual Chocolate and, you know, did all that stuff. I don't know. Oh, she said, because I'm the only one. Stephanie and I are the only ones who hurt her feelings. And I'm like, okay, wait, we just are about to see a napkin toss.
Right. Okay, so Carrie, the new housewife, aside from your altercation with her, do you think that she makes a good housewife as just like a viewer of the show?
You know, for me, a good housewife is someone who has their own storyline. It's not just about mixing well in the group. And I will say the only person in the group that Carrie doesn't get along with is me. And it's a choice. So she gets along with everybody else. Everybody else thinks she's great and wonderful. Such a great addition. But for me, it's going to be about how much value do you add to the show? Mm-hmm. Do you have something that contributes to storyline? Because, you know, I mean, let's talk about a wedding and all the parties that were thrown because of my wedding this season. And every season, my life doesn't get smaller. It only gets bigger.
Right.
Kind of like my booty.
Mine too, Leanne. Okay, so you opened up about your history, and some of the wives had said that you do that too much. What was your reaction to that?
Don't demean my past. Don't demean what I've survived. If any of these wives want to take the ACE test and let me know what their score was, I've decided now I'm going to put the ACE test, ACE test, on my Instagram page, and I'm going to have people take it and then put their number in the comments. And then I will tell people in my story what my number is. And then maybe it'll make people understand a little differently.
And I always say that it helps to bring up your own personal experiences because other people who are going through similar things can relate to that and see it on screen.
Danny, I could open my phone right now and show you so many messages from so many people who are like, thank you. I don't feel alone.
Right.
I finally connected. How do you stay positive? How much therapy did you get? What worked for you? I'm 36 and I'm desperate. Help me. And you know what? That's why I do the show. That's the sole purpose for me.
Is that overwhelming to get messages like that? I know Stephanie said on the show it was overwhelming for her because she opened up about her suicide attempt last season, and she said it was a lot.
What led her to open up about her suicide attempt?
You're talking about your suicide attempt, yeah. You know, I've learned so much about mental health. I had gone through a very serious depression years ago, and I learned that in retrospect, I was having all these suicidal thoughts, and it was, I don't know.
It's powerful.
Where are you at mental health-wise?
I'm the same place I am with a clean body. You have to shower every day to stay clean. You have to practice positive things every day to keep depression away.
What are the things you practice?
Motion creates emotion. So if you're sitting still feeling sorry for yourself, get up, go walk around the block, get outside. Get a little vitamin D in your life. Mm-hmm. Have some sunshine.
Exercise are so important.
And I'm going to say this, and I'm not an exercise person. I said walk around the block. But because
I ain't doing a marathon.
I ain't doing no stairs. Like, oh yeah, Carrie was like, we'll wake up in the morning and do stairs. And I'm like, y'all can do some stairs.
Those stairs were fucking aggressive, though.
Listen,
they were like high stairs. It was a lot of stairs.
A lot. Oh, dude, it took me 2 weeks for my calves to stop hurting after I got home. No, but I will say this. If you are suffering from depression and you are having thoughts, it is because you are so focused on yourself and your pain. And I understand that. I get those points too. What you need to do is go volunteer at a nonprofit. I promise you, go help your neighbor. Go listen to someone else and take the focus off of you and put it out. Make your focus external and not in. It's why I do charity work. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know what keeps me positive and moving forward is my husband, my animals, and my charity work.
Were you nervous first season, or I don't know, remember when you first opened up about your
season
history.
Season one.
Were you nervous about it?
No, I never was. I was actually pissed because basically I had shared my story at a charity event and Brandy had heard it. And she was like, you know, I think it was really selfish of you to share your story. And I was like, I'd never heard someone say that to me before.
And she's been saying that from season one then.
Well, they are so, I mean, that's why when she was like in Mexico, which I think comes up this week, when she was like, you know, I know, are you kidding? I know everything about you. And I'm like, okay, when's my period? And I didn't even remember asking her that. Right. Like I talked to her on the phone recently and I was like, girl, I was like, I did not even remember saying that. And she was like, I didn't forget it. And I was like, oh, well, you know, stuff like that flies out of my mouth. And that's one of the things about me that I don't try to control. And that is when you, I'm not a fan of never, always, infinite words that don't genuinely apply to life. So don't use infinite words if they're not true. You don't know everything about me. What deodorant do I use?
Right.
Do I brush my teeth every morning?
And it might be different all the time.
But we don't know. But you don't. And the thing is, so you also don't know how I was abused. Mm-hmm. You don't know how often. You don't know everything. And that's one of the things that really does, when they start calling it and they do the air quotes, my story, it is hurtful because it demeans what I've survived. Mm. And I just don't think people really, you know, and maybe one day I'll write a book and people can actually read everything that I've gone through. And then maybe then people will stop calling it my story.
On some level, do you think it's maybe people aren't comfortable enough opening up about their own past? And
100%.
So it's almost like a jealousy thing because you're so honest and open about your history. And most people though, in general, aren't comfortable.
They
opening
aren't
up that
capable.
Way.
Mm. They aren't. And it's not that they're not capable because they're not comfortable talking about it.
And I don't know that there's anything wrong with that. I think that most people just aren't wired that way.
And I will say this, one of the things that helped my depression and to stop me from attempting suicides was I had to learn to let go of shame. I was so ashamed of what had happened to me and blamed myself. As a 3-year-old girl, I sat on the fire hydrant by the fire hydrant on the curb and said, if I wasn't so pretty, that wouldn't happen to me. Mm. And it took years for me to realize that, you know what? Screw all y'all. I'm not going to be ashamed about what happened to me. I didn't ask for it. And so now I've gone the opposite direction. I'm very aggressive against people who have survived something and have shame about it. It's not their fault.
What would you say to yourself as a little girl or another little girl who's going through similar situations that you went through? Is there anything that...
Talk about it.
Yeah.
It's not your fault, but you're never going to convince a child that it's not their fault because children in that state of mind aren't capable of processing. Mm-hmm. And
they shouldn't have to process.
And they shouldn't
too,
have to process adult things like that. And it's, you know, so no, but I will tell you what I've said to people who ask me, who message me. I say, they tell me their story in direct messages. And I say, I want you to remember one thing. What happened to you is not who you are. You were made by God to be a beautiful creature that deserves everything in life. So don't let what some asshole, because it was about them, not you, did to you. Mm-hmm. You were the victim. Now be the victor.
Right. Is there a book or something? This is crazy, but is there a book or something that you hold on to, or like a passage, a saying or something? That's it. Right?
My favorite Bible verse, Acts 2:25.
What is it?
I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. And on days when I feel completely hopeless is the most dangerous for me. So when it's why I struggle so hard sometimes on this show, because I don't like when everybody comes for me. And you know, typically it ends up where everybody comes for me. And that makes me feel, it puts me in a very hopeless state. And, you know, I mean, like Thailand, there was a good 2 hours I was in a shower bawling my eyes out.
This is an upcoming trip later this season because something the wives did or said.
You will believe me, you will be, stay tuned, and believe me, you will be like, are you kidding me? And so it's just, you know, I try so hard. I do try hard with them because I do want to have friendships. But when it gets turned on me over the most ridiculous things, it's hard not to take that personal. Mm.
I want to switch gears a little bit, and this is a hard shift.
Okay.
But I think you might have gotten a lot of flack for this, and it was the wedding dress situation.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, please.
I would like to discuss that. Yeah. So here's what they left out of the footage.
Because it made you look like you were just...
Oh, like I was just walking into a store and just going to beg.
Yeah. Dress. Yeah.
No. Okay. So first of all, it was a $25,000 wedding gown that was created for me.
Okay.
Nardos wanted to do this dress from day one. Nardos adores me. Nardos knows that it's not in my budget. It's not that it's not in my budget. That's a stretch. I have the money to pay for it. I'm just not the person that would spend that money on myself. Okay. So I didn't express myself very clearly on that one. Plus, Nardos didn't want it to look like she was just making this dress for me for free because she doesn't like the fact that the other girls sort of use money as a weapon against me. So Nardos wants it to always look like I'm on the same caliber. So it was a real kind of her wanting to help me in that scene and me wanting to be honest and authentic. And it didn't
come across. And you saw that. You saw when you watched it.
Uncomfortable. Because also
you were holding an expensive bag and we were watching. We were like,
Okay, but my bag wasn't that expensive. And then I know later in the episode, I was like, a helicopter would have been better. A helicopter flight's $500. Like, let's just get legit real. Yeah, and the only reason I said that was because Brittingham was like, well, so-and-so famous celebrity lives over here and they live over there. And I'm like, those people are not taking that fucking 2.5-hour curvy road bus ride, throw up along the way to get to their vacation home.
Right. I'm not a good traveler in general. Like any sort of curvy road is not good for me. I get motion sickness and all of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, all of the Dallas ladies, you're really active on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing that you guys grouped together and you said, we're going to be very, because I feel like more than any other cast on Bravo, you guys are active on social media and the fans love it. We like that we can get in touch with you guys.
Let's go back to the beginning. There were beginning people who were very active on social media. That would be the three originals. Mm-hmm. And then I think as we go along, everybody looks to see what we do so that then they pick up the sword and do it as well. Right. And I think that, you know, now it's almost become expected of us to be
I think with Dallas,
prevalent. Yeah.
It must be a little crippling at times because it's almost like we expect that we can get in touch with you.
We can talk to you. Yeah. And the thing is, like, I'm changing up my Instagram a little bit. I'm changing up Twitter a little bit. I still want to try to talk to everyone and answer your questions. I really do. I prefer comments over direct messages because I rarely can get to all of those. But you know, yeah, I'm still trying. And leave a nasty comment, which thank you on my video. I got a ton of nasty comments.
The worst. Who's taking their time to do that?
No comment.
Go do something else.
You know what? I'm not going to be them.
Yeah.
No comment.
Well, I'll be them. They're assholes.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And you're not going to get a response. I mean, a few people said something that was like, just pissed me off enough that I was like, listen, asshole.
Let me tell you something. I post memes on my Instagram and sometimes people say something mean and very rarely, like I'm pretty non-confrontational, but occasionally I'll be like, oh my God, I have to respond to this person. Cause like, it makes me so mad that it's like, follow or don't get off here.
Like, why? Go away. But here's the thing. It's not just social media. I mean, last night when we were going out to dinner, a woman was walking into the hotel where we're staying and she was like, so did you get married yet?
Ugh.
And I'm like, hi, I'm Leanne. Nice to meet you. You know, and it's just like, they think they know you. And I will say this, meet and greets, getting a photo. If you see me somewhere and I'm not bawling my eyes out, I'm happy to take a photo with you and talk with you for 2 minutes. I'm happy to answer your questions, but just start with, hey, Leanne, how you doing? Oh my God, you look great.
Yeah.
A little compliment. Right.
Goes a long way. Okay. So there's this idea that you're sort of Cam's puppeteer. That's like this thing that's come up a bunch of times.
And you recently interviewed Cam. Could you see anyone puppeteering Cam?
No, I love Cam. Yeah. I really love Cam.
I mean, I do too.
No, and I didn't think that at all. But sometimes I think on The Housewives, if two housewives are friends, there's always one person that's the puppeteer that is the other. Or not actually is the puppeteer, but gets accused of it.
Okay. Well, I think we've been accused of that forever. And I think
Brandy and Stephanie have too.
And Brandy and Stephanie. And I don't think they get it anymore. And I will say that I do think that that was one of the goals of Carrie, was to come in and divide that dedicated, honest and genuine friendship. So
do Brandy and Stephanie close themselves off, or is that not a thing anymore? Do they kind of group up a little bit?
I mean, they'll always sit side by side. They've been best friends forever. They're always going to do that. But I will say they've both gotten to the point where they realize that they don't need to defend each other. Let them defend themselves. Mm-hmm. And that is where we always needed to be as a group. We need to have individual storylines that we're each have an opinion of and able to voice that opinion. Because without it, how does the show progress and move on?
What's going on with the old Carrie Duber?
She is going to come out. You know what's so sad is I was the only one who invited her to all my parties. No invitations from anyone else to any parties.
She was off the show and they're like, oh, we don't have to invite her to anything.
I don't know. I guess you'll have to ask them.
And we see that you're still close with Tiffany too.
Of course. Right. Tiffany and I've been best friends since we were kids.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and Tiffany hated me when she first met me,
and
which
Carrie,
I love.
Carrie hated
and
you
Carrie
too,
hated right. me. You know, eventually I will win you over. I'm so good.
Is Carrie, was she blindsided by not coming back, or was that like a kind of a thing everyone was okay with?
I think she's so busy her business that actually it's a godsend, because now she can really focus. You know, that surgery center that she started, she got the injector that I've been using forever to come work for her. So now I go there.
She's booked and busy.
Dude, people are like, who does this? Who does that? And I'm like, here you go. Go contact her. And they're like, Leanne, they said it's going to be 6 months before I can get in. And I'm like, use my name. Maybe they'll take you after hours.
Are we going to see her at all on the show? We're going to see her at maybe the wedding, at certain events.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, she hosted a lingerie party for me where she made all of us show up in lingerie.
Good. I want to see her. I like when the old housewives dip in a little bit.
You will see a massive dip at one point.
A massive. Oh, good. Good, good, good. So Cameron in Mexico said that Brandy's behavior was trashy at that dinner. What did you think of that?
I think for a woman who's elegant and believes in etiquette, she needs to upgrade her vocabulary because she knows that that's her trigger. And I even said to her, you know, I'm not comfortable with you using that word because I've been called trash. You know, and
it's such a trigger word.
It's a trigger word for people who have struggled in their past or who have come up. And when you do that, you're basically saying we didn't deserve to come up. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but I clawed tooth and nail to get where I am and I'm not done. Right. So I deserve to be here of my own merit. Mm-hmm. And so when you say trash, then it makes us feel like you're saying we're not worthy. Mm-hmm. And that's a real, listen, I understand Brandy so well. One of the things I love about the fact that we're in season four is that I understand them all so well. Most of them so well.
Most of them. Who don't you?
Well, I don't. Yeah. Carrie is the most confrontational human on the planet. I mean, and she finds it humorous. You know, you remember Heidi Dillon, my good friend.
Right.
Okay. So I called her up after last week's episode and I was like, girl, I took a DNA test. Turns out. And I go, why? Why does she just want to, like, you know, agitate me? And she goes, Leanne, you need to remember, Carrie is confrontational. That's how she. And then she told me some story about there was a guy who had a TV show, a famous person, came to Dallas, was at a charity event, and Heidi was talking to him. He was very intelligent, you know, has his own show, all this stuff. And Carrie just walked up right up to him and said, so why are you famous? What'd you do? And Heidi was like,
sit down. You know, we see that even with the dinner with her husband when they were out to eat. It was like, even I was uncomfortable for the server.
Bro, waitress. Oh my God. And then you hear at the very end, Eduardo go, could you tell me the specials now? And I was like, thank you, Eduardo. I mean, like,
but I will say, I do think it's an interesting dynamic to add into the mix.
Oh, 100%. We don't have anyone like that.
Yeah, it's like something new a little bit. What else is to come this season? What do we have to look forward to?
Everything.
The Thailand trip. I'm excited you guys are going to Thailand.
The Thailand trip is fabulous. At one point we go to an animal sanctuary in Thailand, and it's just beautiful.
Oh, yeah, rescue animals. Cam was telling me about the elephants.
Yes. Yeah. That, you know, did she tell you about crushing?
No. Okay. She told me that she learned you're not supposed to ride elephants on vacation.
Okay, that's great that she learned that. So now I'm going to give you the hardcore version of it.
Oh my God, good.
Which is elephant crushing is they take baby elephants away from their mothers at 3. And for 12 weeks straight, they beat them with nails. They electrocute them. They use heavy chains on them. They crush their spirit. It's called elephant crushing. I cried while we were there because, to be honest with you, I know what it's like to be crushed. And it's so, to watch these animals, all they wanted was love. They just wanted to reach up, even though humans were the one who harmed them. All they seek is still human love. And I just get that.
Elephants are such beautiful creatures,
too. And they're so gentle.
There's so much in the world that
that's why you're not supposed to ride them, because basically to ride an elephant, it's gone through crushing. So,
hard shift here.
Do it.
The hair. What's going on with the hair? I love your hair. It looks amazing. But Deandra got the same haircut. What was going on there?
That's odd, right?
Who got it first?
Well, Bravo TV. If you go to bravotv.com and read all the blogs, there is an order that Bravo released blogs, and I'm going to go with that order. But you know, this wasn't like a brand new adventure for me because I was blonde for 40 years. So for me, when she did it, I was like, you have been dark your entire life. What are you doing? Right. You know, and I've heard her say that, I guess she said she did it so that people wouldn't ask her about her neck lift. And I, so I guess
you're
it works.
So, you are so good at shade. I love
no,
it.
No, she said it in an interview.
Well, you know, she said it.
I just
heard the facts.
I only know what I know. And, you know, so, I mean, I think it's great, but I do think she was prettier with dark hair. I think her skin tone and everything looks great. And so now she went even blonder but
it's even more aggressive now.
You know, it is what it is, honey.
I mean, I thought it looked great on both of you. It was just surprising to me that at the beginning of the season.
Oh, I know. And Stephanie's like, they're twinning and they don't even know it.
Do you have
believe me, we all knew it. Okay, Steph.
Do you have a favorite confessional look that's not your own? Like, is there one of the women that you've seen so far this season where you're like, oh my God, they look amazing? I mean, everyone's beautiful.
I do like Cam's second confessional look.
Which one
is
that?
The Alex Perry sequin. But I'm a shoulder pad girl. Mm-hmm. So those, you know, that's what I love about Alex Perry is the shoulder pads are so powerful. What I find funny is that Alex Perry is Stephanie's favorite designer and Cameron's wearing it.
Wow. I love Stephanie's look in the black dress.
I was not a fan
of that
look.
I feel like other people don't like it either. I love that look, but I saw on Twitter people were.
What do you think of my cha-cha chain?
Amazing. I love the chains.
I love the chains. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, everyone looks beautiful on the show, but
wait till you see my third look. It's going to be
how many total looks?
We're only going to get 3.
Only 3.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have questions from the Everything Iconic Patreon. Courtney McShay says she loves you. She loves Queen Leanne. Do you feel like the group gangs up on you and casts you as the villain? How do you feel about that? We sort of talked about that.
I think it's an amazing question. And I think she answered her own question. Mm-hmm. I do feel like that a lot. And it makes me very, very, very sad because all I really want is to be a part of the group. And they keep saying, you don't want to be a part of this group. And I'm like, why am I here? Like,
does it make you paranoid? I feel like I would get paranoid.
You know, a little.
Yeah.
A little. I'm not going to lie. Sure.
Right. Samantha Martz says, is there any behavior on the show that you were embarrassed by?
Will this be before or after the current episode? I think when you see,
yeah, this
the
air.
Falling in the sand and the, you know, the I really tried to have a conversation with. Well, Deandra tried.
When Deandra fell over in the.
Before that, we were at the table and everybody walked away and left me alone at the table with a. Deandra, who is beyond obliterated.
Waste of.
No, so bad. So that literally she was trying to talk to me and I was just like, girl, like right now.
Let's do it another time.
Girl. you are not even going to remember what we say tonight. Why would I even do this now? Like, I'm being logical. Seriously, I want to do this with you. And I get that it takes you two bottles of tequila to get brave enough to do it with me. But I want to do it when you're sober mm-hmm. because I want what we say to matter and to make a difference and to make a change, not when we're drunk and, you know, all that.
What did you think when she was telling Carrie and you to do your conversation
now,
right now, yeah. in front of everyone?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, that's Deandra. She's just like her mother. Mm. Demands her way. And, you know, it was irritating as fuck because I felt like a chance to step aside with Carrie and have a conversation with her is a chance to connect with her. Mm-hmm. You've never seen Carrie and I alone yet, have you?
But then no one would be able to control what was going on. The other women wouldn't be able to.
Oh, that's what you mean. Love you, Samantha.
Lisa Biganess says, who's your least and most favorite housewife from other franchises?
Oh, I couldn't even. I'm a huge hardcore love for Erica. Hardcore love. She has been one of the kindest people to me. I mean, seriously, we just sat together again at New York Fashion Week and just, she just gives me strength sometimes when I'm out of it. And she's just always so, I mean, when we had the shooting 7/7 and all the police officers were being killed, she was like, please tell me Rich is okay. And I mean, like, she was the only one. My own cast didn't even reach out to me. Erica did and was like, tell me that Rich is okay. And I woke up and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, he's okay. Thank you. And you know, I love Erica. Mm-hmm. New York, you know, I'm huge fans of Ramona, Dorinda, and Sonia. I think individually and collectively,
what a trio that
they
is.
Are freaking, oh my God, seriously.
Yeah.
If the Three Stooges were around right now, they would annihilate them.
What was Pride like? You did Pride and we saw that fantastic video of Sonia and Tinsley and you were in the car. It was you and Kelly Dodd, I think was the one filming it.
And Reza.
And why isn't that a TV show? Like, I would have watched so much more footage of that.
Because there's not enough alcohol fuel to keep all of that conversation going. And
what were you thinking that whole time? Tinsley and Sonia are arguing.
Well, here's the thing.
Were you like, where's my popcorn?
Their argument had started at like 11 a.m. At 11 a.m., I had made an attempt. Kelly Dodd had made an attempt. And Reza had made an attempt. And Dorinda had made an attempt. And Margaret Josephs had made an attempt to stop the argument, which was not about the townhouse, to stop the argument.
What was it about?
I'm not going to say.
Something about the show, probably behind the scenes.
No, it wasn't, but it just, I'm not going to say. Anyway, I do believe that we all deserve some level of privacy. So that's their story to tell, you know?
Sure.
So we all tried to stop the argument. And then what happened was we went on the float and the argument continued all on the float, which was like, what, 4 or 5 hours down the streets?
Oh, my God.
And then we get in the car and we're going to go to an after party, which Sonia is organizing for us. You know, we're going to go have fun. And it's still going on. And it's like, you know, we get there in the Uber. First of all, I thought the Uber driver was going to pull over and kick us out. I really did. Like at some point, I just kept saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. At some point, I was touching his leg. I was like, how high up do I got to go so we get to where we need to go? Because these bitches are not helping the situation.
We cannot get kicked out of the car.
Right?
Now.
I'm just like, I don't know this hood and I'm in heels and I don't want to walk anymore. So,
you did seem like you were organizing the chaos a little bit in that little brief video that we saw. Of course, it was a very tiny video.
Well, there was also a line of like 100 people to get into the car, the club we were going. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if you two step out of this car, hollering and hooting and screaming at each other, this is going to be all over everywhere. You know what I mean? Because I did at that point did not know that Kelly was videoing.
Yeah.
So I was trying to keep it private. And that's why I was like, enough.
It was fun to just, I wish we had more, but it was nice to just get a little sneak peek and know that.
That it's real.
What we see Sonia and Tinsley on screen is the same. Yes, I really liked it.
Yes.
Linda E. says, are you still in therapy?
Yes, I still go to therapy weekly. I normally go on Mondays, but I'm out here doing charity events. So I will be going Thursday.
Ashley Chan says, if you could move to any other franchise, where would you go? I think you've answered this before. I feel like I've heard you say Atlanta. Is that true?
I used to say Atlanta. I don't think I'd be accepted in Atlanta.
Why not?
Because I've been around the Atlanta girls enough now to know that I'm just not, I'm not, you know, yeah. I can rap Cardi B, but I'm not in it. And I will say that I I don't know that yeah, I fit in any other
you're
one.
Greyvindale.
I am a Texan, an authentic Texan.
Stacey Stratton says, who would you want to play in a movie of your life? Who would you want to play you?
Oh, shit. By the time they make that, I'm going to be so old. I won't even know who those actresses are.
I would
are.
Watch that movie, though. I need that movie right now.
That's what I want to do is a biography. I want to do, you know.
I think it'd be good.
Yeah.
So who would you want to play you? Anyone specific?
No.
And is there an actress you love?
I love most actors. Anybody who can move me, I'm, you know, because I come from the world of acting. So anybody who can move me, I'm 100% love.
Julie Hansen wants to know, do you think there'll be any money left in the trust for DeAndre?
No.
What do you make of all of that?
I don't.
Dee's spending it all, you think?
I don't know that she's spending it all, but I don't think it'll be what DeAndre thinks it'll be.
Do you think that DeAndre knew on some level that the company was not doing well when she inherited?
She had no clue.
She had really had no clue.
No, because my entire friendship with her, I used to say, why are you like chairing all these charity events? Why don't you go to your office and chair your company? Like get in there and run it and make it hugely successful so that when your mother argues with you, you can have numbers to back it up. Like I used to say this to her all the time. So no, I know that DeAndre had no clue where the business, I think she thought it was much bigger than where it is. I've known that the company's been redlining for a long time.
Why do you think Mama D was hiding it from her?
Why do you think Mama D was hiding it from her?
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. Why?
Because
she just likes to fuck with her. I think there's some level of she just likes to fuck with her.
I think there's some level of uncomfortableness for me between the two of them. And it hurts me because you have such an opportunity to be this mother-daughter. You have an opportunity to love each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't have the love that I need from my mom. And that's something that I miss. But you have such an opportunity because you're still in each other's lives. And yet it's so important to win for them. It's so important to win.
How's your relationship with your mother now?
We don't really speak. Yeah. No.
Yeah. It must be hard on some level too, to see Mama D and DeAndre, because like you said, you don't have that relationship. You don't have the ability to even have a relationship.
It
like
reminds
that,
me of the choice I've made and how right it was. Yeah. Right. I'm just sorry, but you know.
Anything else you want to clear up about the coming season?
I mean,
anything
what
you need
should
to
I
say?
Clear up?
Is there anything else, anyone else that we see you fighting with? You and Stephanie? Are you and Stephanie good?
Stephanie and I don't think Stephanie and I fight at all. I understand that Stephanie's going to have an opinion that she never expresses to me, but there's also moments when Stephanie doesn't step up that I wish she would have.
When the reunion comes, where do you think you'll be seated on the couch?
Oh,
will it be you?
I don't know, and I don't care. It's IDK and IDC.
But do you think it'll be you and DeAndre against each other?
I think it'll always be DeAndre and I sitting next to Andy.
Interesting.
I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. And I will say this. This is one of the things that I am very grateful for about this show, is that in the normal world, if DeAndre and I had gone, well, first of all, DeAndre and I would have never gone through this without the show. The show did this, okay? The show.
Does it make you mad that the show did it?
The greed of the show did this. It didn't for me because I'm too old and don't give a crap. In real life, it would have never happened. In real life, it had happened. We just wouldn't speak. We just wouldn't, but we would have let go of it. We wouldn't still be. Some of us are still running around lying to other cast members that negative things that the other one is doing negative things, which is completely impossible and true. And it's just all this extra. It just all that is just so much for me.
All the outside chatter.
But I will say this: mine and DeAndre's dynamics of our relationship and how we are going to navigate our way, if we ever do, according to Dee. You know, DeAndre and I and her will never be friends again, which that's sad to me because I would not
you
be the person.
Think,
I don't say never.
Yeah.
You know that. I just don't. So for me, I mean, it was hard to hear that. I love the dynamic. I love that this season, and I hope that it's left in, you get to see how many times that DeAndre put herself in a position where she was unable to defend herself, and I could have annihilated her. And yet I protected her because that's my true nature. I'm always going to want to protect. That's genuinely who I am. And I know sometimes, like Brandy used to say, you come across, you're not my mother. You're not my mother. I'm not trying to be your mother. I just want you to be happy and safe. And that's a big thing for me. And that's a big theme at the end of the season, is that I am a protector. And whether or not I like you doesn't stop whether or not I will protect you. Because I just, it's an instinct for me. The damage that was done created this armor, this shield, this intelligence, this hypervigilance. And because of that, I will use that for good to protect people who are around me. And I think other than my wedding, which I think is going to be a great, you know, we have a lingerie party, a bachelorette party, a couple shower, the wedding, the reception.
Lots of parties, Leanne.
Reception.
Oh. The reception was beautiful. Ben and Ronnie were there and I saw pictures.
Yes. And the band custom wrote our first dance song. And then tried to gift it to me. And I was like, no, you wrote this. Like, this is going to be an amazing wedding song. Like, seriously, an amazing wedding song. But besides the wedding and the beautiful way that Rich really, truly encouraged me to showed me that it's okay to believe that he loves me. Because, you know, I don't have a problem with trust. Really, that really is shown. And then the other thing that's really shown is the complicated relationship between me and Deandra.
I want to end this by just hearing, what's your favorite thing about Deandra? I know you two have these. Like, what's one really great thing about her?
She is fun. She is so fun. We have had so much fun in our lives. She's an amazing cook. You know, she's working on a cookbook. She's an amazing cook. She's fun. She, I think Deandra has such wonderful qualities. I really do. And I miss that part of Deandra so much. I miss that friendship so much. You know, there is still a very huge part of me that loves Deandra and always will. And I just need that part of Deandra to be able to talk to me.
Right.
And, you know, you'll have to wait and see this season if that ever happens.
Well, Leanne, this was a delight. I love talking to you always. I'm so happy to finally meet you in person. You've done the show a couple times, but it's so nice to see your beautiful face.
You are so sweet.
I love having you here.
And I'm glad that you love Dallas.
I truly love it. I keep telling everyone, don't sleep. Dallas and Potomac, I think, are the best franchises going. I, of course, love New York, but Dallas and Potomac still feel so fresh. And I wish just everyone would watch it. And I don't know what else to do or say to get people to watch it because it's so, so good. But it's like, I think after season one, people maybe had this conception that it wasn't Housewives or something like that. But immediately in season two, you guys hopped in it. And it was like, everyone should be watching this show. It's fantastic.
And episode one this year, we didn't wait. It was like, let's just get into it and start it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's great TV. And I hope that people give it a shot. And I always say, if you don't want to watch from the beginning, start at season two. Just hop in, or even this current season, because this season's great.
Come on in. If you have a question for me, you know, comment.
I will be devastated. I will be devastated if this show goes by the wayside.
I don't think it will. Okay. I think it's going to, our numbers would have to really drop for us to do that. Because we're consistent. If anything, we're consistent, you know?
Because people that watch it love it. That's why it's consistent.
And I think we're entertaining. And I think people don't watch television the same way. They're DVRing it and watching it within 3 or 7 days. And those numbers for us are massive.
Good.
So
good, because I love it so much. And I never want to see you off my TV screen ever.
I love doing it. And I love letting that mouth just open.
When you told someone to suck a dick or whatever,
bite my dick. Well, because he was being rude. So like, good. Be nice.
I know. Fuck that guy.
I mean, like, honestly. Really?
Bite my dick too.
Yeah, you know who that was. That was a podcaster in Dallas.
Oh my God.
That just moved to Dallas.
Interesting.
We'll discuss later.
We'll discuss it later. Leanne, thank you so much for stopping by. You can find Leanne on social media and then also watch The Real Houses of Dallas.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.